Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari in Washington. Tonight, reading books.
Student myself, and I'll tell you what, I don't like the library. I just feel like that place is so scary for me.
I was about to talk about that.
That's the last book I bought.
I actually have not.
When we talk about reading books, what is so special? Are they entertaining, educating, boring, or changing lives? And which books attract more audience? And how about the readers in Africa? Do we like to read books? Well, tonight we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show, all the way from South Africa, Lucy Lovemore, a regular. Welcome back to Let's Talk.
Hi, Sunday. I always love being in your platform. Thank you for having me.
And I'm happy you love it. Thank you for showing up. And of course, for the first time from Botswana, the country of Botswana, we have Tanyada Maluwa. Tanyada, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, and good evening to everybody.
Sure. You're welcome. And from the University of Nevada in Reno, welcome back. The once who was an intern here and back to Nevada, Prince Nesta, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure joining you guys.
Sure. No problem. In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing reading books. Well, what was happening before the introduction of books? Maybe writing on bone, shells, wood. And in China, they say silk was used probably around the 2nd century BC. However, what is happening when we read books? And I spoke to my colleague, an author herself, Lisa Horton. And I wanted to know her take in reading and writing books.
It depends on the genre of books. Some books can be just therapeutic. Some books can be lessons. I wrote my book on just to teach people. Some people just like to be laid back and want to relax and read a nice book.
Right.
Yeah.
Novels.
Yeah.
That most of the time, I would say they're meant for pleasure. And then they ended up to be a movie series.
Yes.
You have a lot of those kind of books, right?
Yes.
So why are these the ones that really, really give people like 50 Shades of Grey, for instance?
Oh, wow. 50 Shades of Grey.
Why are these coming to be a movie and people are brought into the book? Like, oh my goodness, people love it. Why?
I think most people read books and love books like that because they're very relatable to them.
Okay.
And people don't like to talk about it,
right.
So they read about it, and they say, oh, this is me, I like doing this, and,
okay,
you know, so they get to kind of, they get kind of like role-playing with the book.
Right, so some of them, are they fantasizing these books, maybe?
It depends on what they read.
Yeah.
Now, with like the type of books like 50 Shades of Grey, yes.
But that's not the kind of book you're writing or talking about, really?
Oh, no, well,
somewhat. Oh, okay.
Somewhat.
So you're playing taking the safe road.
I'm playing a safe road.
Okay.
But you know, some books are really relatable and meaningful to some people.
Yes, of course.
And everybody has a story to tell.
Yes, they are. You're right.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to these true story kind of books, especially like you're talking about the murder mysteries,
yes,
or the Lifetime movies, yes, that I see on TV. These kind of books are like, okay, this is something that happened. I want to know some more. And how do people get drawn to that so much? Because, I don't know. Tell me about it. It's murder mystery. God's sake, somebody died here. Do you mind?
But, like I said again,
it
has meaning to it.
Okay.
And although it's a mystery book, 40% can be true.
Yes.
They just told it in a different way.
Right.
You know.
With dramatic and all that.
It's a dramatic way. So when you tell stories that turns into books, that turn into movies, you have different ways of telling your story to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
So people can watch it.
That's right.
Or read it.
Or read it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, when you write a book, what is the thinking process here?
I just wrote.
Okay, just keep writing.
I just wrote what was in my heart.
Okay.
I didn't really think about the audience.
Okay.
But I did think about how I wanted the book to be written.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the editor comes in.
Right.
So I just... I believe people just write about them and their stories.
Right.
But in religious type books, they're attracted to certain type of people.
Right.
You know.
Spiritual people, say, maybe.
Yes.
Process.
Spiritual people, too, can read murder mystery books.
That's right.
You never know.
You never know. Thank you, Lisa Horton. Tonight on Let's Talk, we're discussing reading books. And now... I want to come back to you guys. Welcome to the floor. I want to invite, first of all, as we say, ladies first. So, Desta, you're going to wait a little bit here. Let's invite, Lucy Lovemore. Lucy Lovemore, all the way from South Africa. Tell me about what you see in your experience about reading books, especially in our African settings.
Look, growing up, we used to read books.
Okay.
You know, we used to read books from comics. We used to read novels. We used to read, of course, your school books. We used to read magazines. But over the years, ever since, you know, internet, the reading of books has really declined, which to me is not such a good thing because we used to, you know, focus. If you had a book, you would make sure that you read it until you finished it. And it was always a pleasure to narrate it to the next person.
And
we would always even have our little community where you'd be exchanging books.
Right.
And that to me, it's more like spreading knowledge, which does not happen these days. We are all just glued to our phones on Facebook and all the social medias. And it's so sad for the next generation because in our generation, at least we still feel bad to a point whereby you know what? Okay, even if I don't read as much as I used to, but let me read. Well, as the newer generation have got no clue what they need to do with books, you know, and they don't even feel the need to. So I don't even understand how this can be resolved. But we need to read. A reading nation is an excelling nation.
You're right.
According to? You know, it doesn't even matter what you're reading or what content you're reading, but just the fact that you take your time to concentrate and read a book to finish, it shows some sense of responsibility and, you know, trying to acquire knowledge. So we do have a serious problem with the declining of reading books. In Africa.
You're right, Lucy. You reminded me of something, Lucy. As you said, back in the days that when there was no internet, at the time I remember we had these very lovely books that we read and we used to share. You know, when you finish, somebody's waiting for you to finish the book and, you know, borrow it. You know, you borrow from your friend, you know, and share that book around. Wow.
And the pleasure of going to the library and picking up the books and just, you know, getting excited that I'm going to start with this one. It's all gone. I feel like we're living in really boring times that look like exciting times, honestly.
Okay. All right. But also keep in mind, Lucy, people are trying to keep up. Amazon and also other companies are bringing those electronic books where you can read. Or just you can listen while you're traveling on your metro or your train. You're listening to an e-book. You know, the e-book is also there. But let me allow Tanyanda Malua from Botswana.
I think when you raise the point of e-books, that's when I really wanted to go there.
Okay.
Maybe hard copy books are not as, you know, common as they used to be. And like Lucy said, it was that thing of, you know, you have to finish this book and make sure that it's in good condition so when you pass it on to the next person, they also can read it. And keeping a book or buying a book was something that was so important and big and cherishing it, you know, that you're going to pass it on and on and on and on. But now you find that buying your hardcover books is actually more pricey. That's another factor.
Mm.
So you'd actually want to maybe look at an ebook. I mean, for example, you maybe a hardcover book for equivalent of $20, and an ebook you could buy it for maybe $2. So, and what you find now is with all the social media that's happened, social media is great. I think that's really, really awesome. But it has reduced our attention span over the years. I mean, if you have something like Twitter where people are used to reading short, you know, little phrases and 140 characters. If you tell a person to read a book that has 300 pages, it seems quite daunting.
Mm.
So the newer generation, I think their attention span is so, so small, and they just want to get a summary of what is going on. They don't want to read the whole book.
Right.
And you have those, I think people now move towards podcasts or e-books where you have audiobooks, that's what they're called now, audiobooks.
Right.
I think people prefer that than to sit and read. But there is so much discipline that comes out of having the book, finishing it, reading it, actually even buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped us, I think, as an older generation, in quotation marks, that, you know, there was value in that. But if you're so used to having so much information coming at you, different small bits, you don't retain much. And I think we were knowledgeable in that sense that we were able to retain a specific subject matter and really delve into it. Whereas now, the younger generation know a bit about everything, which really isn't good because they don't give themselves the chance to become experts in a particular thing, for example.
Okay. One thing I was wondering, I just when you guys were talking, I remembered the former president of Tanzania, Benjamin Mkapa. I mean, I remember he just mentioned, I just don't quote, but I remember he just said that the nation of Tanzania, people don't have the culture of reading. So going back to our friend in Las Vegas, University of Nevada, tell me, my brother, Nestor Prince, now, people reading in our area, or is this pertaining to culture sometimes?
Yeah, I think it goes back to culture. And you have to look at this from way back, you know, during our ancestors' time. Like, we used to pass information from one generation to another through oral tradition, where we would sit by somewhere at night, you know, our grandfathers and grandparents would tell us stories, you know. So I'm personally growing up, I didn't really love reading books, you know, because I grew up around entertainment joints and that played reggae music and African music all the time. So really, when I went back to school, it seemed like I was being forced to read books, you know, and even the students around me,
yeah,
it seemed like they were not reading willingly, but they were really being forced to read. So straight from the heart, we were really distracted all the time. But I was raised up by my grandmother, who was actually a teacher. And, you know, when you have a teacher around you, then you really have to read.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
You have to read. Yeah, so we were being, you know, caned. so it was like we were being forced to read, you know.
Those are things that we do in Africa. And I think it should be moving from generation to generation. I believe a lot. Well, don't call it caning, because that sounds like slavery.
Or a little discipline, giving you a little discipline so you can understand and read, right? Okay, go ahead, Nesta.
Yeah, and it works. It works. It works for people like me, especially.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing for a fact is that one thing I know, and there's this famous phrase that if you want to, like, hide knowledge, put it in a book, especially for the Africans. That's what they say, which is sometimes, I don't know, depending on whichever side of the argument you are in. But one thing I know, I would read, and most people would read, like from the first page to like the page 1,000 or something, it would be a romantic book. You know, romance, oh, people love that.
I know.
People love reading romantic books. But I'll tell you one thing, I get distracted easily, especially during this social media day and age,
yeah.
where you start reading a book, and all of a sudden there is breaking news going on, there is like a soccer
yeah.
going on, there is someone just break up, you know, someone just broke up with someone, you know, on Facebook, and you want to catch up the gossip. So, you know, the way information right now is like, spreading and, you know, coming at the same time, lots of information. It's sort of, I'd say, it's exhaustion. You know, it's the attention span, the lifespan, the concentration span. It's just too short.
It's too short. You're right about that. So much is happening. Anyway, hold it right there. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your hostess, Sunday Shomari, in studio with Tanyanda, Lucy, and Prince Nesta. Right now, discussing reading books. Okay, let me ask you this. How about vending books all over the world? I think it varies greatly between regions and also cultures. But what sells more? Passion, love stories, as you mentioned, Prince Nesta, or sometimes, hey, other stories, especially true heroes,
yeah,
or those true stories out there. And sometimes they also make series, movie series, you know that. So anyway, I spoke to our intern, Laura Togirayezu, and I wanted to know her take.
For Africa, I think there's a good number of people who read. Maybe one thing I can say that I don't want to say lacking, but that's not predominant, is African authors. A lot of people in Africa tend to read European or American books. You know, we don't, not all of us, but some people in general, we don't read African authors. But it's true that we could be reading much more. I like reading. I think it's really nice.
Yeah,
I wish I could read more.
You're right about maybe African writers, African authors, and African books who relate to us. Maybe we don't have much of that. We need more of that. But also, I was looking at what an initiative in Uganda was trying to do. There's research by Femrit in Uganda. It's a center for culture and development there. They had to organize a book fair because there's a researchers out there that Uganda has poor reading culture, and also, you know, the lack also book markets like the one that they were just trying to establish.
Yeah.
And this is, I can see this is not just Uganda, it's all over there.
Definitely. I think Rwanda has a similar problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of push nowadays towards encouraging young Rwandans to write more. They've been having a lot of competition for short stories writing. There's this young lady who actually released child books, like children books, like, you know, the little stories with the drawings and everything.
Yeah.
But with, you know, like a Rwandan princess, so like the names are in American and all of that, which is very interesting. But also, sadly enough, in Africa, I think there's not a very big rate of literacy, you know, so there's a big portion of the population that doesn't even know how to read.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, we have to start from the the root of the problem.
Right.
Let's get people to learn how to read the languages you want them to read, you know, because, well, there's the mother tongue, there's English, there's French, and then push books to them.
That's what we need to do, push books to them.
And, you know, it would be much, much better if people could adopt that instead of the other current ones, like videos. There's a lot of videos on YouTube. Instead of reading a whole book, you can watch a summary of a book for 5 minutes. Ooh, the love stories and the horror stories, all of that, the romance novels.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, you have to get people to read one or another. If they like, do you know that book and movie, The Twilight?
I know. The Twilight, yeah, you know? 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yes, that too. You see, so those are books that sold a lot in the United States and all over the world.
Right.
Because they were talking about that interest, you know. As human beings, there's few topics that will interest us, no matter the age,
yeah,
the culture, the origin, the ethnic, anything. Those stories will always interest people.
Thank you, Laura Togwira Yezu. Tonight, Let's Talk, we're discussing reading books. Now, according to a little history about books, they were talked about writing and papyrus to the Greek. This is around the 10th and 9th century BC. In an interview with Time magazine, Bill Gates cited Business Adventures by John Brooks as one of his favorite reads of all time. And this is what he said. I quote. He said, Business Adventure is a collection of Brooks' New Yorker's essays about various companies that succeeded or failed. And the title, Xerox, 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 should win an award for most clever chapter name. And the lessons inside the book are even better. I took inspiration from it while running Microsoft. So, do we get inspired? Or sometimes if the title or the book is not right, we get bored. And as Nesta say, we miss something along the lines that is hidden somewhere in the 1,000th page. Well, back to you, Tanyanda. Tell me about that.
So I'm one person who's an avid reader, and I've got a habit that whenever I travel somewhere different and there's a library there, I have to get a book. And
really?
And this is where I got the book.
Very nice.
It's a thing that I have.
Okay.
People beautiful. Buy keychains and magnets. I buy books. It's my little thing. And I like the last part that you mentioned about the titles and the content. There are some books that I bought on a whim because maybe I had checked on a top 10 list of best business books, because I love business books. I don't really do passion, romance, type novels. I love autobiographies and business books. Or maybe check on a site that says these are the 10 top business books, and I'll get one of those. But you find that sometimes the author's writing style is not very easy to follow, and maybe 20 pages, and you really lose the message. And you know that it's been voted one of the best books to buy right now, but the writing style is not easy, or it's, you know, it just doesn't have a good flow. The title sometimes does, you know, persuade you to get it, or even the author themselves, because right now you have a huge flow of people who are, I'll say, famous, then who then have books, so you sometimes you buy because of the person, not necessarily because of the title. But writing style is so important, because that really determines whether you're going to finish the book or not.
Okay.
I find I've bought some books that I still, up to this day, have not finished at all.
You couldn't finish. Wow. Very well said. We do know one of the best-selling books of all time, we also remember The 50 Shades of Grey. But this is about...
I was about to talk about that.
Because that's the last book I bought.
I actually have not read any of the books. I actually watched the movie, but I didn't read the book.
And you know what was impressive?
Yes.
The fact that it was well acted, because I read the book first before I watched the movie.
The movie, right.
And the way I envisioned everything was exactly the way it was in the book. Wow. I thought that was really amazing.
I know. Thank you.
Africa, there's a lot we need to do in Africa for other Africans that are less advantaged than us.
That's for sure. We need to do something. You're very right.
Yeah, I totally agree with her, by the way. There is hope for Africa. But one of the most important things that I would like you know, for instance, people to understand is that sometimes reading is just not the only way of acquiring information.
You know,
like, I'm a master's student myself, and I'll tell you what, I don't like the library. I just feel like that place is so scary for me.
I have all the meetings. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope my professors are not listening, though.
Yeah. They better not. But,
The other ways of acquiring information, like, I don't know, is it because of my background as a radio broadcaster, but I like listening, you know.
I think you can take it back to your mom.
Acquiring information on an interpersonal, on a one-on-one perspective, watching documentaries, acquiring information through movies. I feel like that tickles my fancy more than reading books. But also, you know, we should also, as Africans, develop this culture of writing books, telling our own stories, you know. Then probably other Africans will also, you know, like, because those are stories that relate to them more than telling me that I need to read an Australian book, you know, American book. I mean, that's good, but at the same time, are we telling our own stories through reading?
Yeah.
Are we telling them by using our own language? You know, I mean, English is a universal language, but if you need to reach, like, those people who are growing up in the rural areas, the people that didn't have the resources to go to school and learn English, are we telling our stories through the languages that, you know, we own? Then probably that will encourage the culture of reading.
Telling our own stories. That's the key right there, my brother, in your own language. I like that. Very well said. And for that, you have the last word. And we have seen example of the Black Panther, a movie that portrayed an African superhero. You saw how it did. So these are the things maybe we need to do some more. So hopefully you can make it happen.
Very true. Thank you for bringing this to light.
Sure. Hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back. Maisha ni kama safari, ni safari. Hakuna jua ikisho itakuwa. Najiangalia kwa kio, kio, kio. 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 Maisha ni kama safari. Isha no ananga. Tuna siku mbili muhimu, ya kuzaliwa na ya kuzama. Yangu ya kuzaliwa nishaijua, bado ya kuzama toka duniani. Wanaongea sana na hawajui kule nimetoka. Wakisema na didimia, ona bado na bebea. Wakiniombea mabaya duniani, nazidi rusha zaidi.
Shindana nami hawajui kule nimetoka, hawajui yale nimeona. Wakisema na didimia, ona bado na bebea. Wakiniombea mabaya dunia.
This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. And that's it for our show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored reading books. A very big thank you to my guests over the phone. And also, I want to thank you so much, Tanyada Malua, all the way from Botswana. Thank you for being on this show.
Thank you for having me. It was really awesome.
Anytime. And also thanks to you, Lucy Lovemore, the regular on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, always a pleasure.
Sure. And all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, in Reno, I want to thank you so much, Prince Nesta, for your time on this show.
Anytime, my brother. And thanks so much for educating Africans and educating the world.
Yes, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jackson Ovugaji is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be skin lightening. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Elinor Madu and a guest physician will discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat Tuesdays at 17 hours 30 UTC right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.